Okay, it's wonderful to see you all today. Last week we started a talk called Being in the Right Place. So this is my second and final one on that, Being in the Right Place too. So last week we talked about physically sometimes being in the right place. Are we in the right job, the right house? But we also talked about having the right attitude. And I brought this revelation that God may not need to change the place that we're in, but he may need to change our attitude in that place. And that can make a huge difference. So this week, I want to look at being in the right place, but this time emotionally and spiritually, are we in the right place? We need to position ourselves to receive from God. You know, if we're going around and our head is down, and our whole heart is down, and our whole attitude is down, and we're just having a bad little pity party to ourselves, it's really hard to believe from God in that attitude. So we're looking at emotionally and spiritually. Let's have a little look at Elijah. Now, there was a severe famine in the land, and God told Elijah then, when there was no food left, to go to a widow to meet his needs. Now, I'd never, ever noticed that about the scripture before, and I've preached on it because it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's in 1 Kings 17 and verse 9, and it says this, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And she was going to get it. He called, "And bring me a piece of bread, please." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on this land." So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So often we just look at Elijah's part in this story and how amazing he was to provide this miracle. We look at what he did. But today I want to look at what the single mum with no husband could do for God. She had no one to support her. She was a widow. So she was a single mum, and this is what she did for God. She certainly needed things to change because the food was about to run out. Maybe the electric bill was lying. The phone bill was lying. All of these, the gas bill was on its way in. The car had broken down. They needed a new handbrake or something like that on the car. The exhaust was falling off. She had bills probably piling up, so much so that she did not even have money for food. But she stayed where she was. She wasn't going to change her job. She wasn't looking for a new husband or a new location at this point. She needed to stay exactly where she was, and that's what she did. Faithfully looking after her family. Just faithfully doing what God had told her to do. Last week we said we can be in the right place but have the wrong attitude. This woman was physically in the right place. So what did she need to change? It tells me in verse 12, that we may eat it and die. Here's where she was emotionally and spiritually. She was frightened that her and her son was going to die. She was at such a low ebb. She needed to change where she was emotionally and where she was spiritually. I don't know if that's any of us today. I don't know if we can't change physically the situation we're in, but we need to change how we're feeling about it. We need to change where we are emotionally and spiritually. So what about us? We can go home and ask ourselves that question. Where are we emotionally and spiritually right now? Do we need a change? We can have one today if we need one, right now, by the end of this message. And anyone that can pray for you here, I could pray for you, and you can have a change emotionally and spiritually. Let's pick the story up round about verse 9. It says, the widow was going to supply Elijah with food in the famine. So verse 9 says, God directed a widow. I just think that's amazing. He didn't go and direct the king, but he directed this woman who had nothing. She had nothing. She was a single mom with nothing and no food in the cupboard. You know, and God could use her. So no matter where we are, no matter what situation we're in, whether we've got lots of money or whether we don't, whether we're struggling to pay the bills right now, God can still use us. And he can direct us wherever he wants. How did God direct her? Was it in a vision? Was it through a sermon? Did an angel come and visit her? It might have been any or none of these things. Did she just feel that she should help this man? Did it just move her that this man had nothing to eat or drink either? It doesn't actually say. But somehow, God spoke to the widow. Sometimes we're looking for a big bolt of lightning, and actually it's just a little small voice. We're not normally going to get an angelic visitation today because we're not giving birth to the Messiah. But that's okay. Don't feel that God doesn't love us just because an angel's not standing in front of us. But let me tell you right now, even though we can't see them, there's one behind you, looking after you and our children and our children's children wherever we go. And so we don't know how God spoke to this woman, but I suggest it was just a small unction on the inside that she had to do something. And she must have been listening. You know, there was one day, this is years ago, I wasn't even married, so I hadn't even met Neil, so it was many years ago. But I was getting up and I was a young teacher going to work, and this thought would not leave my mind. Take this woman that I worked with, let's just call her Jane. Take Jane some flowers. Take Jane some flowers. I still was living in my mum's house, didn't have any. We're in a little village, there's no shop to buy flowers. So how am I going to get flowers for Jane? Just had this thought, take Jane flowers. Now, I knew she was going through a hard time. I knew things in the family weren't good. I knew her and her husband were probably going to end up in divorce. So I knew that because I worked with her. Okay, but this thought, it was just this little nagging on the inside, you know, right in your gut. It just wouldn't go away. So I said to my mum, Mum, is it okay if I go and cut some roses out the garden? Just my mum's little, you know, roses. She said, yeah, that's fine. So I went and cut 4 or 5 roses, wrapped them. Quickly, you're running around getting ready for work, you know. Put the cling film on them, stuck them in the bag with the lunch and got in the car and off I went to work. And I'd had time to write her a little card. And I put the little card on her chair. She wasn't in the classroom when I went there. I put the roses on the chair and left a little card. And it was something I can still remember. It was something from Psalm 23, you know, like the Lord provides for us in the midst of our enemy, spreads the table before us in the midst of our enemy. And at that point, her enemy was her husband because he was going to divorce her. So I left that little card and I didn't see her till break time or lunchtime. And she came up to me in the staff room and she said, thank you so much for the flowers and the little card. They didn't cost me a penny. I just got them out the garden, you know. And she said, do you know what day it is? And I felt like saying it's Tuesday. She said, it's my birthday. It was her birthday. And her husband was going to divorce her. And I just picked some flowers out of my mum's garden. I could have picked the dandelions and the daisies, and the woman would have been just as happy. It was God telling her that he knew and that he loved her. Just that little voice on the inside. Sometimes we should not ignore that little voice on the inside. Sometimes a little voice on the inside saying, shut up, Sandra. Shut up, Sandra. Don't say another word, Sandra. And we need to not ignore that little voice on the inside. Don't nod too much there. That's telling us to be quiet sometimes. But again, we need to not ignore it when it's telling us to speak out and just do something for someone else. So this woman must have been listening because she knew what she had to do and she obeyed and she did it. She heard from God because she'd positioned herself to listen. So I've got a few revelations today, and this is the first one. Okay, so if you're taking notes, this is revelation number one. We must position ourselves to listen because God wants to speak. And sometimes you can't position yourself to listen if the kids are screaming or you're at work and you need to be on the telephone and there's lots of noise. But you know, you can take a 10-minute walk at lunchtime and be in the quiet. Sometimes you need to go to the toilet and bolt the door, because sometimes even when you're at the toilet, they're sitting on your knee. Yeah, when they're young, you know, you're in the toilet and they're sitting on your knee. You can't even get peace and quiet there. So that's why God invented locks. Bolt the door and go to the bathroom on your own and have a shower in peace for 5 minutes, you know. Life is busy, I know that. But we need to position ourselves to listen because God is wanting to speak. So how else do we position ourselves to listen? We can sit quietly before God. We can switch the television off. Listen to this one. This may shake you to the core of your feet. The phone has an off button. You can switch off the phone. It does come with an off button. All teenagers learn that now. It does come with an off button. We can ask God questions when we're in that quiet time and have a pen and paper ready, because God will speak. He will answer your questions. But we need to clear our minds first. He will answer in that quiet time. Well, Sandra, what will I ask? Well, you know, I remember one of the first times that I thought, I'm going to ask God a question. I was sitting all on my own in the living room, and there was nobody there. I had a coal fire on in this living room at the time, many years ago, and I was looking at the coal fire and sat in this chair with all the lights out. So it was really nice to focus on God in that atmosphere. And I just said to God, I love you. And the answer came back into my head, I love you too. So if the answer comes into your head and it lines up with the word of God, it might be that it's from God. So it's really good to write it down, because then you can ask God for confirmation. So you might ask a question like, I know you love me, but how much? I asked that this week when I was preparing. I know you love me, God, but how much? And the answer came to me like that, enough to die for you. God loves us enough to die for us. So when we start asking questions, you might say, God, people have left me. Will you ever leave me? And the answer will be, I will never leave you. It's written in my word. It's written in his word. The answers are in God's word. Even if we don't trust what pops into our head, we don't trust that little niggle to begin with, you need to do it more than once to have confidence in that voice in your head and that little niggle in your inside where your spirit is right here. And so as we write these answers down and it's confirmed over and over and over again, then we'll begin to trust it. God will put and has put answers in his word, and we have to make the time to read them. So this is my second revelation. To hear God speak, we must position ourselves to read his word. Now, I know most of us are doing that, but some people, you know, maybe it's been a week, and God doesn't condemn you for, if it's been too busy, it's been a week or a month or however long it's been since you read his word. God's not out to condemn us, but just think of all the opportunities you've missed to hear his voice, because he's always speaking and we're the ones that are missing out. That's what it's all about. His word has the answers to our questions. So are we positioning ourselves to read the answers? Do we have a quiet time each day? Because that position will help us to hear from God. And hearing from him changes us. It changes us emotionally, and it changes us spiritually. I can remember the very first time that I ever did this, and I had got this amazing prophetic word from this American couple at church in Edinburgh, and it just blew me away. It was just so amazing. It just changed my life. But I thought, I don't want that to be a one-off. I don't want to sit around waiting for someone, some visiting speaker to come to speak into my life, or even wait until next Sunday for something to speak. I want God to speak into my life every day. So I got a little jotter out of Woolies. That's how long ago it was. We still had Woolies. Got a little jotter out of Woolies, and I got a pen, and I started to write anything in my daily reading. There's daily reading books up there. Anything on that back table, any of those books, just take. And every time I did the daily reading, if anything spoke to me or I looked up the scripture, if anything just jumped out the page, I wrote it down. Thought, I'm going to do that. Started at number one, then number two. And I did it for about 4 weeks, and I had 20 things. I'd written down 20 things that God had said to me over the 4 weeks. And I started to read them all. I went back and I read them, and I realized out of these 20 things that I'd written down, there was a common theme. And God was only saying about 4 things to me out of all these 20 statements, because one would reinforce the other, and it would reinforce and it was all reinforcement from God. And that's how I began to learn to hear from God, just to write the things down and get confirmation. We don't go and change our lives on a whim, on one thing. We might have just had too much cheese. You know, but we wait and we ask God for confirmation. When God was telling me to marry Neil, Neil was on the other side of the world. We were not even speaking to each other. We were 12,000 miles apart. It did not look good. Neil had finished with me. He had dumped me. And I was heartbroken over here. And this did not look like it was going to happen. Okay? Should have gone to Specsavers, eh? This did not look like it was just going to happen at all. And I was heartbroken over here. He was confused over there. And so I asked God, and we were apart for about 18 months. Okay, that's a year and a half of me saying to God, this can't be right. Is he the one? Is he the one? Is he the one? And I could show you the little black book. And I think I have 300 scriptures telling me to marry this man. Because I asked almost every single day for 18 months. And that's over 300 days. So sometimes a scripture would last me 2 days, sometimes it would last me 3 days, and I'd be back on my knees. Lord, I really need you to confirm it. I know you've said this, and I know you've said that, but could you confirm it again? Boom, next scripture. And some of the scriptures just wait and persevere, don't give up, don't give up. And some of the scriptures were so precise I have called from a far off land, from the east, a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. Some of them were so specific. You know, so we need to write it down to hear from God, and he'll confirm what he wants to say. So that emotionally and spiritually he can change us, and we can be positioned in the right place. We weren't positioned in the right place, either of us. But God did a work in us because we were listening to him. So let's look at verse 10. God asks the woman to give bread and water to Elijah, and she obeys. So here's a question. What's God asked us to do? And have we obeyed? What has he asked us to do? And have we obeyed it? If not, why not? What's stopping us? Is it jealousy? Is it apathy? Is it unforgiveness? Is it fear? The widow was afraid. Elijah could see that. He said to her, don't be afraid. Of course she was afraid. She was afraid. This was our last piece of flour and oil. She was afraid she was going to die, and her child was going to die as well. She was really fearful. This was no small ask. She didn't have Asda, Tesco, and Aldi on the next corner. This was no small ask. God was asking this woman to give the very last thing she had, the thing that represented life itself, and then she and her son were going to die. And not only that, she had to give some of it away to a total stranger. Sometimes it can be a small thing, but sometimes it's a big ask. To forgive someone is a big ask. To trust God for things that we cannot see how it's going to happen is a big ask. This was a big ask for this woman. He was asking her to trust him enough to give him her the last thing that she had. But it was only so God could do a miracle to meet her need in the famine. If she trusted God enough to do what he said and give her this last thing, he had this treasure to give her. He had a miracle to give her. And sometimes we hold on to things, or sometimes we hold on to the hurt, and we hold on to the pain and the things that people have done in our past, things that people have done in our childhood, and we hold on to it, and God's saying, could you just not open your heart and let it go? Give it to God and let it go, because I just want to do a miracle. But he can't put a miracle in our hands because we're holding all the hurt in our hands. We're holding all the stuff that someone said or done in our hands, and we need to let it go before God can put something good in there. He only had a good thing. He wasn't thinking, well, I'll deprive this woman of something more. He wanted to do a miracle, and she had to be willing to trust God for it. So are we in a famine like this woman right now? And I don't mean no food. I don't think there's anyone in this room, if we go home, there's no food in the cupboard. But are we in a famine? Are we emotionally dry, and are we spiritually dying on the inside? Then we need to give it to God like the widow did. Give him all of our worries and everything that we're concerned about. Give him the fear, the disappointment, the hurt, the failures, the jealousy, and even our pride. I know that I had to hand pride over to God on more than one occasion. And put it all at the foot of the cross, because that's the right place for it, and leave it there. Don't put it there on Monday and pick it up on Tuesday. Don't put that, I'm worried, but I give it to you, Lord, and by lunchtime, I'm worried. If you do pick it up, you know what? Just lay it down again. Every time you pick it up, just lay it down. And then we'll be in a position, and we will have positioned ourselves for God to meet our needs. So here's revelation number 3. Giving God our needs puts us in a position for God to meet our needs. Just trusting him. Just say, God, I've got this electric bill. Don't know how I'm going to pay it, but I trust you, and I give it to you. And that puts God in a position to meet our needs. Verse 12 says this, I don't have any bread. And that was true. It was a fact. And she goes on, I only have a handful of flour and a little olive oil. And I plan to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So she was focused on the facts, and the facts are real. You know, we can go to the doctor, and the doctor can say these are the facts, but my God is greater than the facts. He's not just natural, he's supernatural. My God can walk on any piece of report that the doctors have given us, and I will stand on this and live by this, that the first report does not have to be the last report. It just doesn't have to be. My God can change medical reports. My God can change bank balances. My God can change reports that we get from work on our behavior. I met someone yesterday for coffee, and she was telling me about getting made redundant, and she just gave it all to God, and she just said, Lord, I just give it to you. I've been made redundant. So then God supplied a contract for her. So she got the six-month contract immediately. So she's doing the six-month contract. She got another six-month contract. She says, I've just trusted God for every six-month contract as it came along. But then this day, they all got told the contracts were ending. So she went into the boss and she just said, is there any chance that my contract could carry on? And the boss said, absolutely not. All the contracts are ending this time. So she just went home and she got three children, a mortgage to pay. So she just went home and just gave it to God, just said, God, I just trust you. I give you this. I just trust you. Just within 2 days, she was the only one. She got called back into the office and given another six-month contract. You know, we just trust God and God will meet our needs. It doesn't matter what the facts are. Don't focus on the facts. Focus on an amazing God that healed the sick, raised the dead, you know, and has given us eternal life. We need to focus on the amazing God that we have. You know, God can stand up in heaven and just rip up reports and throw them to the four winds. Our God is an amazing God. She focused on her emotions and how the situation made her feel. She focused on all that she didn't have. And do you know what? It's so easy to focus on how we feel and our emotions and how down we are about certain things. She said, I'm going to die, because she probably felt emotionally dead already. How would we feel? I don't think we can even imagine that there's just enough to make, you know, a tiny little loaf of bread in the cupboard and that's it, nothing. I don't think we can really in this country imagine that, because we have so much. But everything was going to go. And so on the inside, she would have been dying. And you, as a mother, you'd be thinking, or as a father, you'd be thinking, do you know what? I'll make this bread. I'll just give it to my son. I won't have any. You'd give it to your child, wouldn't you? Because I couldn't be alive and know that my child wasn't. So you would give the bread to your child. As a parent, that's what you would do. And all of these thoughts would have been going through her head. That her and her son were going to die. So emotionally and spiritually, she was probably half dead already. This is a prophetic word for someone here today or listening to this message, and it is this from God: you are not dead yet. I've given you life. Get up and pick up your life again. I don't know what's caused you to feel as if your life is dead or half dead, but God is saying, I've given you life, so get up and start living it. Pick up the life I've given you. We must pick up our hope, pick up our future, and pick up who we are in Christ. Turn to someone today and say, I'm a child of God. We're children of God. We're children of the King. We're clothed in robes of righteousness. God doesn't look at us and think, oh, you're useless and you're worthless. He looks and goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. We're in his army. We're wearing crowns in the spirit realm and we don't know it. And we forget all about it. We have power and it's in the name of Jesus. We need to pick up our hope. If you've lost your hope, don't go home today without picking it up. You're not allowed to do that. Pick up your hope and go, there is hope for me. There is hope for my life. There is hope for my future. I just got a text from someone on Friday night. And this lady's husband died many years ago. She brought the two children up all on her own. And so this woman has been a single mum working full-time on her own for many years now. And I just met her at something. I don't know her really well, but we used to work together. And then when I came home, she said, I really should have told you when I met you. She said, I got engaged in Vienna over Christmas. She's met someone. And he took her to Vienna and proposed to her. How wonderful. How wonderful. And I'm just so thrilled for her. And she's been many, many years on her own. Do not give up your hope. Don't let it die in the famine. Don't let who you are in Christ die in the famine. There's some people in the room today, you're walking through a famine in different areas of your life, but God is with you in the famine and he will provide. He provided for this widow, provided for this single mom, he provided for Elijah. He will provide in our famine whatever it is we need. Too many times we focus on how things make us feel. We feel down and depressed and rejected, and we think that is the truth. It is not the truth. It might be the facts, it might be how we're feeling, but it's not the truth in God. The truth in God is we are warriors for the King. It's only feelings, and with God's help, we do not have to live there. So here is Revelation number 4. Don't live in your feelings. Position yourself to live in God's truth. If you want your life to change, folks, just go home today and look in the mirror and say every single day for at least a month, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. The power of Almighty God is in me. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm a child of the King. The power of Almighty God is in me. Start to confess positive things. I've got hope and God's got a good plan for my future. Start to confess what we want to see growing in our lives and not sit at that table of self-pity. Don't lie down and die somewhere just because our feelings tell us to. Now, we can all have days where we're a bit down. And you know, and we look in the mirror and there's another grey hair or another wrinkle or a zit or we put weight on or whatever it is, we're looking in the mirror and we're not happy about it. We can all do that, but you don't need to die there. Just pick ourselves up. Being overwhelmed by feelings is the wrong place to live. I want us to note this. If we change our feelings, we can change the place where we live. This widow was living at death's door, but she believed God and she lived. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Don't listen to feelings of fear. Choose to look to God instead. You have a choice. He said to this woman, you've got a choice. You've got a choice. We have a choice. We've got the same choice to make, either wallow in feelings of depression and heaviness and self-pity, or decide we're going to shake it off, decide we're going to believe God and live. Believe Psalm 118. Here's a scripture to go home with. Write this on a post-it. Stick it on the fridge. Put it wherever you want it. Put it right beside the bed so it's the first thing you see in the morning. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Today. We can start a new life today. We can have a new beginning today. I had the vision earlier of the person opening the curtains and it was dawn. The sun was rising on a new day. It doesn't have to be the same as yesterday if we change our attitude to the day. If we change our feelings to the day. If we change our emotions. I want to turn. Want you to turn to someone and say, I am going to enjoy today. Find something to be glad about. Look in the mirror and find something to be glad about. Look in your garden and find something to be glad about. The other day I was out walking because I love to walk and it was freezing cold. It was so cold, I had the hat down to the eyebrows and the scarf up to the eyelids, you know. You could only see my eyes walking. It was absolutely freezing. But I marched it out and the wind was cutting. I'm sure I saw an igloo go flying by. But I said to God, you know what? I just give you the glory. I can walk. I can see. I can freeze. I've got feelings. I can walk in this lovely, fresh Scottish air that we've got. And I can enjoy your nature. I can see your creation all around me. There's people lying in hospital beds today that can't do that. We need to find something to be glad about. You know, if our kids are driving us nuts, just be glad you've got kids. You know, if the husband's driving you nuts, just be glad you've got a husband. If the wife's driving you nuts, which will hardly ever happen, but just be glad you've got a wife. Okay? Whatever's driving, if the roof's leaking, praise God you've got a roof. Right? There's people living on doorsteps that don't have a roof. So Elijah spoke God's word to her and she trusted what God said. Verse 14, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry. Whoa. Even when I was preparing this, I just felt that, you know, that feeling on the inside like you'd gone over Funny Tummy Hill and you're all excited. The kids go, do the hill again, mummy, do the hill again. And you think, no, I'm going to throw up. Inside, you're jumping on the inside. God will supply all of your needs. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry. That is a prophetic word for us today. No matter what needs we have, God will meet those needs. And here is the prophetic word. God will supply all of our needs. His supply will never run dry. That's what I've written down. But as I read his word, I'm so excited on the inside. I'm jumping on the inside for verse 14. The jar of flour will never be used up and the jug of oil will never run dry. We will never come to the end of his grace. We'll never come to the end of his mercy. We will never come to the end of his love. He will never, ever give up on us. It's not just about meeting our physical needs and paying that electric bill and fixing the broken down car. It's about meeting our emotional and our spiritual needs. And God will be there for every single one of them. He will never be used up. No matter how many times I have to come and say, sorry, God, sorry, God, sorry, God. He's never going to run out. It's okay, sweetheart, I still love you. It's okay, sweetheart, I still love you. Or to the boys might say, you're my man. I still love you. You're the boy. You know, he will never, ever run out of his love for us, of his grace and his forgiveness. There'd been no food in this land for months. The situation looked impossible. The widow needed a miracle, and Elijah was asking her to believe for one. Verse 15 said, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. Notice she's not recorded in this story as saying another single word on the subject after this. She just obeyed and zipped the lip. She said nothing negative at all. If a miracle was needed, a miracle was what she was going to have. She believed the word of God. In other words, she positioned herself to receive one. See, it's all about the position that we're coming from. She wasn't about to speak a bunch of negative words over it. Hello? You know, we say something positive on Monday, and by Tuesday, we're ripping it apart. It'll never happen for me. God will never do that. So here's revelation number 5. We need to position ourselves to receive a miracle. We need to have the right attitude. We need to be in the right place emotionally and spiritually, and not just speaking all the negatives and believing everything the doctors have said. Everything our checkbook is telling us. We still have checkbooks these days. After Elijah spoke, the widow didn't say another word. Nothing negative. Not one word of unbelief came out of her mouth. Like, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think I've been good enough. I don't think God's going to do that for me. I've not been to church in years. God won't do it for me. Yes, he would. Yes, he will. He loves you. She positioned herself for a miracle, and she got one. So here's another question. Do we need a miracle in our lives? Then we need to position ourselves to receive one. Do what this woman did. Believe God, speak his word over the situation, and then don't let anything negative come out our mouth. It's the only way to receive that miracle. It's not rocket science. Negative talk makes for a negative life. Because if all we're saying is negative, emotionally, we're down. Spiritually, we're down. Instead of just confessing the word of God. Listen to this famous quote by a famous character and see if you know who it is. Here's your test today. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Anybody know the famous character that said that? Well, it's a great quote. It was Thumper the Rabbit in Bambi. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. If you're not saying anything nice about yourself, why would you have a string of negatives coming out your mouth? If we're not even speaking nice things about our own life, let alone the boss at work or the brother or the sister that's annoying us, you know, not that they ever would do that, but just in case they did. If a whole string of negatives coming out of our mouth, how are we going to get anything positive? Sometimes keeping our mouth shut is a good position for a miracle. Most of you have heard me speak about a man called Charles Capps. There's some of his books on that back table. If you've never heard of him, I recommend the book. It will change your life. Just take it. It's a little booklet. But he's written a few books. So he's dead now. He was just a farmer in America. The book that changed my life was called The Tongue, A Creative Force. So it's all about what you create with your tongue. It's not a big book. He's just a farmer, not highly, you know, not got a degree or anything like that. Just wrote a book that was down to the ground, salt of the earth, change your life book. Okay, so I got it online once. It's but one of the few books I've read about 5 times. Every couple of years, you need to reread it and reread it. That's an abbreviated version at the back. And if you want it, then take it, because it's all about the power of words to get healing in your body, which we believe for in Deferment Elam, that God wants to heal our bodies. Anyway, there was a time in his life, it was him and his wife and his daughter, and they heard that the neighbouring farm was up for sale. Now, I can't remember why. I can't remember if the farmer had died. But anyway, the land was up for sale right next to their farm, and they would very much like to have bought that land. But there was other people all vying for it. They had a lot more money than they had to offer. They just knew what they had to offer, and that's all they had. So him and his wife and his daughter just decided they'd pray a prayer of agreement, they'd stand together, and they prayed for that piece of land to be part of their farm, and they left it at that. And they didn't revisit it, and they didn't say another word. They just believed that God had heard and God could do it. They didn't say anything negative, that nothing negative came out of their mouth. And I think quite a bit of time passed, maybe some weeks and maybe some months, and you'd be so tempted to say, well, that's not going to happen. Well, we've lost that. Someone else has got it. And then one night, there came was a knock at the door, and I think it was the lady that owned the farm, and she was just standing at the door, and she just said to Charles Capps, "Would you like to buy my farm?" And they got the farm, because nothing negative came out their mouth. It's powerful stuff. So if anyone's never got the Charles Capps book, please take one of those little pocket-sized versions. Let's finish with verse 15 and 16 from this story. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. God's word came true. This is so exciting. A widow, a single mum with nothing, nothing, no education that we know of, no qualification, maybe not even a job, no money in her bank book, no food in the cupboard. This widow provided for Elijah. She did the providing. She obeyed him and she provided for him because she obeyed God. Obeying God's word provided for the needs of a single mum and her son and everyone in her family. Obeying God will provide for our needs too. All we have to do is put ourselves in the same position as the widow did. So here's a reminder of the positions she put herself in. We need to position ourselves to listen to God. Switch the phone off. We need to position ourselves to read his word. Actually open the book. Position ourselves to give God our needs and not talk negatively about them once we have. Position ourselves to believe God's truth about our lives and about our situation and not live in our feelings at the pity party. And all that will position us to receive our miracle. We ask the worship team to come back up and lead us in a final song of worship.